everyone. My name is Reagan. Welcome to Conversations with Sarah, with your host, Sarah Carnes. She's my mom. She's on the radio and TV and loves the Cleveland Browns. But one of her favorite things is connecting with you. She wants to help you live a healthy, happy life. I don't know how she does it. She even got me to love carrots and eat broccoli. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Sarah. First of all, thank you for sharing some time with me today. Each and every one of you, it means so much to me, and it's been a while since I recorded my last episode. A lot of things have happened in my life, and I've been kind of waiting to share some of this. And I don't know, is it ever the right time when you've been through something difficult to share? But I feel like today had the inspiration to share just a little bit. These past 6 months in my life have probably been some of the most difficult 6 months in my life ever. And honestly, on the radio show this morning, most of you, hopefully all of you know that I do the morning radio show at 95.5 The Fish here in Cleveland. And Len and I on the morning show, we got a random call, and I had kind of been talking a little bit about my outlook and perspective on life, which I'm going to get to in just a moment here in just a little bit. And someone called and said, you know, I just want to thank you guys so much for your radio show and being so positive, giving the different perspectives in life that aren't the typical norms, you know, and I know that your life isn't always probably positive and happy, but you guys always give us such a fresh outlook like that. And it really made me think, and I was so appreciative in the moment because, yes, my life has been crazy hard these past 6 months, and it's getting better every day. But hearing that made me think, yeah, I've been working really hard on having a positive outlook and a positive perspective, and not toxic positivity. I'm not talking about that. But the whole idea of opening yourself up and saying, you know what? I could look at things this way. I could look at the snow as being, ugh, it's snowing again. I don't like snow. It's cold. It's this. Or I could look at snow and say, wait a minute. It's pretty cool how snow works, like the science behind it and how God created the snow to, and I don't know how technically the snow works, but if you start thinking about that and the sunlight, just, you know, people sometimes complain about how hot it is. And when you think about, like, wow, that's so cool that the sun over a million miles away heats us and hits us down here and just at the right temperature and a different, just changing your perspective on things. So I want to get into a little bit more about that later, but I hope this episode and this podcast helps you have a good perspective and maybe a change in perspective on some things that may be your norm. I've really learned being able to be wrong about something and being open to that is a very powerful mental tool. It's not always easy to do. And one of the biggest things that I wanted to share with you today that's been going on in my life these past 6 months is I'm doing brain retraining. You're probably like, what? What is brain retraining? I've been using a program. This is not an ad for this or anything. There's a couple different programs out there that are very popular, but I've been using one called DNRS. It's Dynamic Neural Retraining, and it focuses on rewiring your limbic system of the brain. Instead of chasing symptoms all the time, a neuroplasticity-based approach to rewiring chronic illnesses, and it's been so far, I've been doing it 6 months, and it's made such a huge difference in my life. So I kind of want to get into that and share where I am. And in the past, I've kind of been hesitant to share things that I'm not, oh, I'm 100% well, and everything's great. And I'm actually kind of learning more now that, you know what, I'm not chasing this victory anymore when it comes to my health, when it comes to perfection in life and everything being perfect, because honestly, that's never going to happen. Chasing perfection, I am a perfectionist, is something I've had to really pull back from. And a lot of you, or some of you may know, that I've had a history of working with functional medicine. And I kind of got in a rut with functional medicine. And if anyone's been diagnosed with Lyme disease or mold illness or some type of chronic illness, you can maybe feel me on this. You kind of get sucked in. And I'm not saying I had a lot of successes with functional medicine, but I'm kind of learning there's a whole other side to it too that can be a slippery slope if you don't have your eyes open to it. And the chasing getting well, the, you know, fear of all these different kind of foods, if you're, you know, if they're the ones making you sick, and toxins, it can be overloading. And I was trying to figure out a way to talk about this and how it got me such in a rut and what led me to brain retraining. But I actually saw something on Instagram, and I'm actually going to share it from her because I think she does such a great job. This is someone on Instagram. Her name is Steph underscore G-A-N-O-N-G. And she put one of these little funny, you know, memes up, and it's actually Joey from Friends, and he's going, "Oh my, yes." And it was one of those point of view trends where it said, "Cutting out all of the foods and toxins for a decade to heal my chronic symptoms and then realizing the issue was my nervous system the whole time." So follow me with this. She says, "Anyone with a history of chronic illness knows exactly what I'm talking about. We start off with all these scary, unexplained symptoms and then get another spike of fear as we face life with a disease that has a name. We are told to eliminate gluten, dairy, nightshades, do an elimination diet, buy a new device, take more supplements. We start viewing our body as broken that we need to fix. And our nervous system is getting the message over and over and over again that symptoms are a threat. Gluten is a threat. Dairy is a threat. Nightshades are a threat. We end up with this big long list of threats from our subconscious to be watching out for. Its main job is survival, after all. So then you subconsciously make an enemy of what you've eliminated. Your system stays ramped up in a search for these threats day and night. Sleep as you start. Symptoms increase. So we start looking for what else? And then we add those to the list." And I would be very clear about this, and she's very clear about it. I'm not saying that these things aren't harmful. And of course they can be. I'm not saying that living in... What I'm saying is, she says, is that living in fear of them is often creating more problems than they are. Every time we add something to the list that we're afraid of because it could be adding to us being sick, we amplify the hypervigilance. And before we know it, we're living in a world of fear. Everything is dangerous. Everything is out to get us. And the symptoms just continue to amplify and evolve. Our subconscious is convinced that our life is in danger 24/7, and we start this incredibly harmful cycle of chronic stress and fear, and I'm guilty of falling prey to this. But I've learned so much of this from my mistakes. Focusing on what we fear makes our nervous system react in a bigger, bigger way. The way out is finding those triggers and rewiring your brain around it. This has been such a big thing for me. Ladies, if you, and guys too, but I've met so many women, and I've been kind of living this past 4 or 5 years. I've been diagnosed with mold. I've been diagnosed with SIBO. I've even been told in the past, "Oh, you might have Lyme disease. You might have that." And it puts you in this state of fear. I've been told, "Oh, you might have a histamine intolerance. And maybe that's why you're feeling that." So honestly, I became so scared of everything. My relationship with food changed. I became so scared of different foods.
And what you learn through learning about neuroplasticity, learning about brain retraining, and all these symptoms that you have are real. They're very real. But sometimes they are aggravated and continued because of your hypervigilance that was created for me in this world of the hypervigilance of being healthy and always seeking this. And honestly, so I was this past May seeing my functional medicine doctor in, I don't want to say who it was or where it was because they all do a great job. And I'm very thankful for the help that they've provided. But I was sitting in tears, like pouring tears in her office. Like, why can't I get better? Why do I have this anxiety? Why do I have these chronic sleep issues? And she had just kept testing me and testing me for all this stuff. I've spent thousands of dollars on different tests. And she looked at me and she actually just started to apologize. And she's like, you really need to do brain retraining. I think I am so sorry for not telling, you know, not seeing this sooner in you, this hypervigilance. I shouldn't have been doing all these tests. And it was just like, whoa, wait, what? I've been saying for the past 2 years that I think something is up with my nervous system. And I just kept getting fed, well, try this test. Maybe it's still mold. Maybe it's still this. Maybe it's still that. It's like, whoa, what if we took a step back? And now, doing the DNRS program, I have been so, I guess I just, my eyes have been opened so much to see so many women and men really being transformed with their health from recalibrating their nervous system. And I'm going to talk about more a little bit deeper on what it is. I am not an expert by any means. I've only been doing it 6 months, but I went through a really, really hard time where my nervous system took a big crash, huge crash, this last August, due to me feeling like I had a health crisis when there really wasn't one there. But I kind of had what some people might say is like a nervous breakdown or something like that. And it was all to me thinking I had mold again and this and that, and that's what's causing this. And I was being fed that, you know, by some doctors. And again, these doctors are amazing and they've helped me in so many variety of ways, but it's a balance here. And I really think more doctors have to start talking more about brain retraining and the balance here. And as you are being told to do all these strict diets, and if it's going on for a long time, like if you haven't healed in a, I don't know, maybe a year or two, or maybe even shorter than that, I think doing this brain retraining and being aware of this should be involved step by step in making sure your doctor, the dietitian you are working with, is very familiar with this type of program. It has been transformational for me. And if you're interested, if you're like a geek about brain retraining and neuroplasticity, basically, to me, I always tell people my elevator speech when I say I'm brain retraining is I'm just teaching my brain and subconscious to think a different way. So I'll give you an example. I haven't been able to smell candles or scents like that in, gosh, years, ever since I was diagnosed with mold, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Just, I get really sick around candles. I couldn't handle it. I've retrained my brain about the smell of candles and scents, and now I can walk into any room. I recently was in Charleston, and I walked into a candle shop and smelled all the different candles, and it was so beautiful. And not that I'm like, you know, setting my house with candles everywhere now, But the fact that I could do that, the fact that I can eat all these different foods that I was afraid of before because I thought, you know, they were doing something. One of the biggest phrases that I feel like that has helped me realize what I was doing is, Sarah, stop building a narrative around every symptom that you have. Stop building this narrative. If you've been through this, you've probably, you know, said, oh, well, maybe this is what's causing this. Maybe this is what's causing this. And honestly, your brain gets so used to that, that it builds up this reaction to it. So if this is intriguing to you, DNRS is one of the programs. I know there's a couple different other ones out there as well. There's so many health coaches out there now. And one of my other biggest pieces of advice as I'm doing this brain retraining is there's so many health influencers out there. And I've actually had to unfollow a lot. And for me, any health influencer that's leading with fear, I've had to really balance that out in my life. And what I mean by that is I've seen health influencers shame people for taking a Tylenol, taking an aspirin. I've seen health influencers shame people for eating a donut or a piece of pizza. I've seen it all. I actually saw one, and I'm not kidding. I will never forget when I saw this big time health influencer, Mark and Apple, as being a negative thing for people to eat. And she was relating it to SIBO or something like that, but how like this apple has all these like negative things to it. And I was like, whoa, wait, like eventually that messes with you when you're on these restrictive diets so long. And I get that some people have to. But a lot of times for me, for example, it was a lot of retraining my brain. I was having these reactions. Like all the symptoms were real. Don't get me wrong. But the way we approach things. So I really hope that more and more people start talking about this. And, you know, if you light a candle in your house, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of influencers out there who would shame you for that, who would tell you candles are toxic and da 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 da. And I'm not, there's a lot of truth to that too. But for me, I've learned life is a balance. And if I want to be around a candle for a little bit, I'm going to. It's a balance. I'm not going to stand in front of it every day and smell it all. And I use a healthy candle. I want to eat a donut every once in a while, I'm going to, and not feel shamed for it. Actually, that brings me to my other topic of what I wanted to talk to today, leading into the relationship with food. So there's a story out today where Sarah Jessica Parker, famous actress, I'm sure you know her, and she's opening up about her relationship with food. And she said that she keeps sweets, cookies, cake in her home. She has 14-year-old daughters, and she does that because she wants her girls to have a healthy relationship with food. She grew up in a home, she said, where it was very strict. You know, they weren't allowed to have any sugar growing up. And now, you know, she said, as soon as I left for college, it was like, give me all the sugar I can have. And I think that's so true. Like the pendulum swings. If you go too far one way, it's going to swing and they're going to go maybe too far the other way. So if you have this balance in the middle, I'm learning in life, that is so important. And I will say when I first got into this whole functional medicine world and healing your gut, all of it's so important and it's so good, but I definitely swung too far the other way. And I see the reactions of some people where, you know, you post a picture of eating something and their first reaction is to comment underneath, I don't do grains. Grains are awful. Grains have, you know, all these chemicals in them. And it's like that to me is this like automatic trigger reaction where that might be true. But if you balance foods, I think you can be healthy. And there's this whole thing happening with food now, with healthy relationships. And I've actually talked to two of my friends who are dietitians, and they've both shared with me, they're seeing more and more of this in their practice, where women are getting these negative relationships with food. And I keep saying women, but I mean both guys and girls, where they're getting these bad relationships with food because they've been so restricted, that they've been so hard on themselves because, you know, they've had grain or they've had sugar or they've had this. And it's like, if we would come at this in more of a loving health approach versus fear, 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 I think we would do so much better. I'll be honest, there was a time when I first started in this world of health and functional medicine and toxins and all this kind of stuff, where I got so fearful. There's BPA in receipts. You know, when the cashier hands you a receipt, I actually didn't even want to touch a receipt. When they handed me a receipt, it was like I like held it as like little as possible and just threw it away because I was so afraid of touching a receipt. I know that probably sounds crazy to a lot of people, but I have met so many people during this journey who have fell into that rut. And that's where, again, back to that brain retraining helped me. But I love the approach that Sarah Jessica Parker is kind of coming out with. There was a phase in my life where anything sugar a few years ago was out of our house, and I didn't let my kids eat anything with sugar in it. And it was like, oh, it's bad. And I honestly started to think the same way, like, wow, I don't want to push on my girls this shame with eating these certain foods sometimes. I think it's a much better approach to move into it with more of an idea of a healthy relationship with food. Like, yeah, you can have the donut and you can do this and you can do that, instead of this zero tolerance for foods like that. It's all a healthy balance. And we're going to have a good dinner tonight, but if we want to have dessert after, that's fine too. And some of these health accounts, I think, and not to their fault, I think that was honestly, I think, the trend that everyone, it's like this fear-based approach and this shame approach if you, you know, don't do this. I remember I posted a picture one time of this frozen pizza that I've gotten at Costco, and it had some vegan sausage on it or something. It was so good. And the very first comment I got was someone coming at me because that sausage is fake and it's da-da-da-da-da and there's... And I was like, oh, that's a... You know, and I get it. But I also, it's not like I'm eating this every day of my life. I think I'm going to be okay if I eat this frozen pizza every once in a while. I don't know. Does that make any sense to people? Does a balance make sense in life? Because I think this whole balance approach not only plays into food and getting well, but it plays into a lot of different things in life, and perspective and outlook. And another thing that I've been really struggling with was insomnia. I'm still going through that. It's been very, very hard. And I do believe this was all created from this health movement. Like, tons and tons of health professionals and health influencers that are following, 8 hours of sleep. You got to get 8 hours of sleep. You need to do this. I get up really early for work. And I've been a perfectionist, so I always like feel pressure to be this perfect like 8 hour person and get to bed on time and do this and do that. And I'm, you know, working with some great people right now to change that relationship with, you know, my brain and sleep. But it's looking and having a different outlook. And I mentioned in the beginning, outlook and perspective, being able to be wrong and being open to that. I think I was very wrong in my approach to health 2 or 3 years ago. Some of it was right, and some of it I still believe, but I guess we all go through that. We learn and we evolve. And now I'm learning that so much about healing and getting better is not chasing this idea of being perfect and chasing this idea of getting well and being where I am right now, feeling my emotions and knowing they're there, but teaching my brain that I'm safe and I'm okay. And that, you know what, those ideas that I had of being perfect and all these things hurting me were not right. And I want to change that. And it's a very, very powerful tool. And like I said, it's not easy. But if you want any more information on this and different things, you can check out, like I said, DNRS and a bunch of different perspectives. But just eat the donut. If you have to eat the gluten-free one, that's fine too. But it's been very, very eye-opening for me. And I hope to, in the future, do some different interviews with some professionals that I've been working with and that I love online. Because I know so many women and men suffer from some chronic issues, whether it's IBS or SIBO or just feeling you're stuck in a rut with mold issues or Lyme disease and different things like that. And again, your symptoms are very real. My symptoms were very real. But this brain retraining was and is still, I still do it every day, a big, big thing for me. So more to come on that. But on a different note, before I end things today, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that came up while I was on vacation. So this year for vacation, we did something a little bit different and it was really fun. So drove from Ohio down to Florida, but we stopped in Charleston for 2 days, stopped in Orlando for 2 days, and then went on to Clearwater for 4 days. So super fun. A lot of people probably don't drive anymore because it's so convenient to fly, but it is fun to take that route and hit Charleston, South Carolina. So many good restaurants, so many good. Then we went on to Disney for a day in Florida and then on to Clearwater. And sidetrack on that, I just wanted to mention how fun that little road trip can be. But I was reading all kinds of news articles and different thing, and one popped up that I was like, yes, this is so true. This is more for moms. So where are my ladies at that in the 80s and 90s you were kids? I was born in 80s, so I guess I'm more of like a 90s kid where I grew up. But let me just take you back because it was a whole article on birthday parties. So birthday parties today are a big deal. And I'm with you. My girls have had all kinds of themed birthday parties at the roller skating rink, at the bowling alley, all kinds of stuff. That did not happen when we were kids. And it was this article from Scary Mommy talking about it. And all these people scrolling through their nostalgic responses to birthday parties. Like, take us back for a birthday party for a second. Birthday parties are so huge. I didn't, first of all, have that many birthday parties growing up. It was more just like family parties. But when we did, we had a sheet cake, we had some fruit punch, and some pizza, and we'd play some games, and we call it a wrap. And it was fun, right? I know this 80s and 90s stuff is huge right now with all the, you know, kids want the t-shirts from the 80s and 90s, listening to 80s and 90s music. And I love it. The 80s and 90s were amazing. What about if we brought back the birthday party style? Like, if you really want an 80s and the 90s party theme, let's go all out and you get you some themed napkins and plates with, you know, something on them. And hey, that was your 80s and 90s birthday party with some pizza and pin the tail on the donkey. So here, I just want to read to you some of these responses. It says, when I was growing up, it was a special treat to be allowed to have a birthday party at all. They were always at home and not the least bit extravagant. And this one said, I had birthday party at McDonald's. All we needed was McDonald's play place and a Happy Meal toy. So that was even high end for me. I never knew anyone who got to have, like, that would have been, whew, big deal. This one says, I got to choose what my mom made for dinner, had a birthday cake for dessert, and got to open my present after the cake. It was definitely more homegrown. The best birthday parties were at our house, painting each other's nails, having some pizza, and watching a movie. I like how most parties now, we don't make a fuss about the gifts like they used to. I do like that part. I like when you go to a birthday party now, you kind of don't open the gifts, usually because it's only like 2 hours. Like you rent the bowling alley. You want time to play and have fun and sitting there watching everyone open up the gifts. So that part makes sense. The other big thing that they brought up is you didn't invite your whole class back in the day. I mean, everyone, and not that it's a bad thing, not that things are bad things, but it's just, wow, things were so much simpler back in the day. You invited a few friends. Goodie bags, I don't remember being a thing. I don't know. They were just simple, more homegrown. So it brought me back to the days. And if we could bring back the 80s and 90s birthday parties, would that be a cool thing or not? I don't know. Parents, I think it would be cool. I think sometimes, myself included, have gone a little bit overboard for all this stuff. And it's a joy. And I love celebrating my kids. Maybe we didn't do it enough back in the 80s and 90s. And now we're just like, I always say the pendulum. Whatever we didn't do, we want for our kids. So are our kids going to swing the exact opposite way? Are they going to go back to how we did it? Like, we don't have to be like our parents were and have these big extravagant parties for our kids. We're just going to be simple. And it's going to go right back to how we grew up. I think about that often with so many different things. I just read another article recently that Gen Z is moving into trade school. I think it was a 16% increase last year. It's like they're figuring out, yeah, trade school's option is awesome. You know, we don't have to listen to the narrative that everyone has to go to college and spend all of this money to go to school. It's like, wait. Back to outlook and perspective, maybe everyone was, majority of people were wrong about that. And you know what? It's really awesome to be an electrician, to be a welder. I can do well and I can make a lot of money. I don't have to go to college. So it's that whole idea, I think, of the pendulum swinging again. And for me, that's just something I'm learning. All right. Well, I've talked enough for today. I hope you enjoyed listening. If you'd love to know more, I'm going to put some stuff in show notes, some tags of some accounts that I love, Evolve, the brain retraining, all of that good stuff, the outlook on life and perspective. I think I would just love to challenge you to be a little more open. If it's something you always loved, always thought, always believed, like, is there something that you can kind of step back and look? Like, maybe you would really love snow. If you step back and looked at snow in a little different angle, it's just something I think is so beautiful when we can do. So thank you for listening to this episode. This is kicking off. I have a bunch of new ideas for some new episodes coming up here soon. If you have ideas, I would love to hear from you too. Shoot me an email. I love being able to talk to you. I'm on Facebook and Instagram the most. So if you send me a post on Instagram, that's probably where I'll see it. It's Sarah Carnes 4 on Instagram. So shoot me a message. Love you all. Thank you for listening.